Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for this lovely Sunday morning that God has given us so that we could gather through this online worship and praise God. And also greetings to everyone who's present in the church and even listening through the online. Our God is a good God. And I want to take this opportunity to thank God and praise God for all that He has been doing in our life, especially protecting all our loved ones in different places and as a church leading us. So today, what we are going to see in the youth message, when Pastor said this, there was one instance which was really coming into my mind. And as you saw the title of the message, it says, "Do you really want to get well? Do you really want to get well?" This is seen in John chapter 5, verse 6. Let me just read it for you, and then we will pray. "When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to your presence, O Master. O Lord, thank you, Lord, Father, for this lovely time that you have given us, Lord. And we praise and thank you for your word, O Master. O Lord, as we meditate on your word, let your Holy Spirit speak to us, Lord. Speak to every person who's listening to this voice, and let it be a great blessing in their lives, O Master. Lord, empower me to deliver your word according to your will, O Master. Cover me under the shadow of your blood and under your cross. Let your name be glorified. Take the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Young people aspire to achieve great things in life. If you ask any young person, they want to become something, or they want to achieve something. But some people, when they try to achieve, there will be many difficult circumstances on the way. Trials and difficulties, and on the way they may give up from their goal. But others, they have a determination to overcome these uphill battles, and as a result, they become successful. Today, we are going to see a man that was asked a question by Jesus. The question is in John chapter 5, verse 6. Do you really want to be made well? In some translations, it says, "Do you really want to be made well?" Some it says, "Do you want to be made well?" So I will take the translation which says, "Do you really want to be made well?" So this message has both spiritual and physical connotations. It has a spiritual meaning as well as a physical meaning. And may the good Lord bless us with this message. So when we see today, I'm going to just stick on to this incident which occurred in the life of Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 15, you can see that there's an incident which took place. And you would have heard a number of messages from this, especially from the Sunday school. If you had listened to it, it's a very familiar passage. But I'm going to stick onto this passage and just let us learn what are the spiritual truths from this passage here. Let us take a background check here. Here you can see the first verse it says, in the second verse, John chapter 5, verse 2, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water." So here you can see it's a beautiful place. It's a pool. Especially during the summer times, we all love to go to different places. Because of the pandemic, we are restricted, but we'd like to go through the water side, enjoy the cool weather. So here you can see, it is a beautiful pool, and they have five porches there, and there are a lot of sick people there. You can see there are blind people, There are lame people. There are paralyzed people. There are people with many problems around the pool. But it's a beautiful place you can see there. And what happens here when you see, in the fourth verse it says like this, "For an angel went down at certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." So here you can see the people there had many problems, but there was a solution also provided for the problem there. What is the solution is, there were sick people, there were blind people, lame, paralyzed, and multitude of people were there, but there were angel of the Lord used to come in and stir up the water. When the water was stirred, the person who got in first would be healed of all the diseases. So we can see here, when you have a problem, there is always a solution to the problem too. That is what you can see, a beautiful place, people with many problems, but there was a solution. And the solution required an action by the people there. They had to, when the water was stirred, you had to get in. But here in this case, in this incident, you can see there was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. He had been as an invalid or paralyzed for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" So that is the message today. Do you want to be made well? But before that, this man was there for 38 years. He was happy in that condition. He was satisfied in that condition. Many of us, even in our Christian life, we tend to be satisfied in our Christian life. Even in our Christian life, we are happy just coming to church and going. There is a stagnant condition in our own Christian spiritual life. Moreover, if you in the physical realm, if you see, if this person has to get well, he has to do something. He has to get into the water. Similarly, you and I, even in the physical realm, if you have to grow, you have to do some actions. If you stay simply doing nothing, you will not be able to grow in the Lord, or you will be not able to grow even physically. So, but here when you see, Jesus saw him lying there. He was a man who was 38 years invalid, but Jesus saw him and knew the condition that he is. Even though you are in whatever condition you are, Jesus knew that person. Jesus knows the condition that you are, the spiritual stagnancy that you are, the inability to grow in your life, the inability to come up in your physical realm is known by Jesus. This is what you can see here. When Jesus saw him, there were many people there, but Jesus saw this particular man. Jesus saw this and knew what the condition of that person was. Similarly, today also, Jesus knows your condition. Jesus has chosen you from this world and has brought you into his kingdom. When Jesus has brought you into his kingdom, and if you are in a stagnant condition, if you are thinking that I'm unable to grow, I'm unable to achieve things in my life, I'm unable to grow from the spiritual shell, what Jesus knows the condition today. Today you have a hope there that before Jesus is asking him the question, Jesus knew the condition. Jesus knows your condition. Jesus knows my condition, what I am or what you are going through. That is a big solace for a Christian. That is a big hope for a Christian. We don't need to worry. This is when I, after preparing this message, when I listened to yesterday's Saturday evening message, I do not know how many of you listen. Pastor George Philip was talking, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So this is a related message to that. You can see that's how the Holy Spirit leads. So here you can see Jesus knows your condition in whatever situation or mess you are. This 38-year-old man with infirmity, 38 years he was having this infirmity, Jesus knew his condition. And Jesus is asking him a question, do you really want to be made well? So this is a question God is asking. I know you will be happy. Jesus would have asked, told to him, I know you might be happy in this position, but do you really want to be made well? Sometimes you may be happy in your spiritual life, thinking, oh, this is good enough. But God is asking you and me, do you really want to be well in the sense, in the spiritual realm? Do you want to grow as in the image of Christ? So that is the message today I'm going to talk to you. In the seventh verse, you can see the man is answering him. What is the sick man answered him? Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. So if you want to be made well, what should you do? The first thing you and I have to do is get out of your comfort zone. If you and I are in our comfort zone, we cannot grow in our life. This man cannot be healed if he's just lying down there. If he's just being there and happy in that position, in that situation, he cannot receive a healing, physical healing. Similarly, you and I, if you have to achieve things in our life, if you want to grow in the Lord, you have to get out of your comfort zone. This sick man has to get out of that condition. How can he do? What he has to do is, the first thing what he said, I have no man to put me into the pool. And he can't, when the water is stirred up. So he knew the solution. He knew that the water has to be stirred. But he said, I have no one to help me. What is he doing there? He is actually complaining there. He is telling there, oh, I have no one to help me. I am helpless here. He's complaining to God. You can see that God knew his situation. What God wants us to do is not to complain in our lives. We have to stop complaining. We have to stop murmuring in our situations. Why should we stop murmuring? Jesus knew this man is in this condition. And Jesus is asking him, do you want to be made well? You may think this is absurd. This is insane, because you know I am in this condition and you are asking me. But Jesus wanted to make a point to him is, hey, what is your condition if you ask? He says, I have no one. So what Jesus wants us to do is, we have to stop complaining. Stop murmuring in our life. God wants us, you and I, to always be thankful to him. Because you and I are his children, he knows the situation and circumstances we are in, and he is able to deliver. That is why he doesn't want us to murmur. When the Israelites, let me just take you back, when the people of Israel, when they sent in spies to the land of Canaan to see, there were only two people who came up with a good report. The remaining 10 people came and said a bad report. And the people murmured against God. The people of Israel murmured. And what happened as a result? They had to round about the wilderness till the appointed time. So today, you and I, when God has put us in a particular situation and circumstances, let us not murmur about it. Let us not complain about it. Like this man said, I have no one to put me in the pool. He says, I have no one. Oh Lord, I have no one, he says. His helplessness, you can see. But he starts complaining about that. So today also, you and I should be appreciative of the things that God has given to us. When you look around, when you see the world, how blessed are we? Look at the positive things that God has given you. God knows your circumstances. God knows your situation. But be appreciative or thankful to God for what He has done in your life. When you are thankful and appreciative of God, God will certainly do the rest of the things. In the seventh verse, you can see like this. He continues saying, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." So he had two problems here. First, he says, "I have no man to put me into the pool." He was complaining. The second thing he says, "While I am coming." So this man has made an effort. You can see that he has put in some effort, but his effort is not being very useful. His effort is being wasted. In other words, when he tries to come in, the water is stirred because he wants a miracle. He tries to come in, somebody else jumps in into the water. As a result, that person is healed, this person is not healed. So he tells to the Lord God that, "I have been trying, but I am unable to do it." So here you can see two things. One, he was complaining that there was no one. Second, he also made efforts. You should understand that our efforts are always not necessary that it should be successful. That is what we can learn from here. Our efforts need not guarantee us a success. That is what you can see here. This man tried with the little strength he had. If as a normal person, you may see, "Oh, how unjust is it? This man is trying to come. He is sick. He is paralyzed. This 38 years he has been in this condition, making an effort, but still he is unable to achieve the goal. Still he is unable." So you and I should understand it is not by our efforts that we achieve success, or it is not by our own efforts that we grow in the Lord. That is what we can say here for him to be made well. If he had his own efforts to do it, he could have jumped and gotten. But it's not his own efforts. There had to be something missing there. For him to be made well, some factor was being missing there. So that's what we are seeing here. The first thing what you and I have to do, if we have to be made well, is to get out of our comfort zone. The second thing what you can see here is, in the eighth verse, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." So the second thing to be made well is to converse with a master who is in control. The deliverance for this person started not when he tried to do things. Usually we all say that, "Oh, when you try, God helps you." But for in this case, you can see the deliverance of this person did not start when he tried to do it or when he complained. But that was not when deliverance occurred. The deliverance started when he started to converse with the Lord, when he started to talk with the Lord. The Lord knew his conditions and his circumstances, but the Lord started to work in his life when this man started to speak with the master. That is what you can see. So today you and I, when you converse with the master who is in control of every situation, your deliverance will begin there. If you want to be made well, if you want to grow in the Lord, you and I, God wants us is to converse with the master. What does that meaning of converse? That means speak with the master. Oh, develop a deeper relationship with the master. Oh, not a high-by relationship, not a relationship which is only on Sunday, but God wants us to develop a deeper relationship with the master, and that's what will bring deliverance in your life. So here you can see Jesus is said to him. Jesus, when you looked at him, here the seventh verse, he's complaining. He is putting his efforts, But what did Jesus do? Jesus did not blame him for his actions or his inability. But what Jesus did is just said to him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. So Jesus is not concerned about our past life. Jesus is not concerned what you were before. But when you converse with the Lord, he will speak to you. When you speak to the Lord, you will listen to his voice. When you listen to his voice, what you should do is you should obey the voice. Here you can see this man got a message, rise, take up your bed and walk. And he could have said, hey, for 38 years I've been in this condition. 38 years I know I have tried a little and I have not moved. What are you talking? Because he did not know that it was even Jesus. Because if you read the whole passage, you can see. But what did this man do? He immediately obeyed the voice of Jesus. So when you converse with the Lord, when you start speaking to the Lord will start speaking to you. The Lord will give you directions. The Lord will give you instructions through the holy word of God, through prophetical messages he can give you, through the messages that you hear God can speak to you. But when God starts speaking to you, it is your duty and my duty to obey the word. If you do not obey the word, you cannot be made well. If this person said, oh, I am not going to rise up, I am not going to take up my bed, I am not going to walk, I am happy here, this incident would not have been recorded here, or this incident would have been really insignificant. But here you can see, immediately the man was made well. Immediately. And what did he do there? Here he took up his bed and walked. He took up his bed and walked. Even it was not a traditional time for people to take up the bread and walk, because it was the day of Sabbath. A Sabbath was a day when there was a day of rest. When you read the 8th verse, you can see, and that day was the Sabbath, the 9th verse, sorry. It says, on the Sabbath day, he is not supposed to work. But here you can see, on the command of the master, when he was speaking to that, he took the bed and he started walking. So when God speaks to you, when God speaks to you and me, you and my duty is to only obey it. It may be unorthodox things when compared to the society. In this society there, people would not take up their bed and walk on that day. But here, when he heard the voice of the master, when he got healed, he was ready to take up the bed. When you listen to the voice of Jesus and obey it, you may have to do things which are against the society. You may have to go things which is not the normal way. Here you can see that is what is being done. He had to take up his bed. You had to do things which was out of the norm so that God's glory can be manifested. Today also, if God is with you, if God speaks to you, God is moving with you, you should also do the same thing. Do the things which obeys the voice of God, and that will bring glory to his kingdom. In the 13th verse, let me read for you. The people there, let me read from the 10th verse. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they said to him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. So here you can see, this man was healed on the Sabbath, did not know who the person was, but still he was ready to obey. Even though he did not know, it was Jesus who had power to heal and healed him, he did not know that, but he obeyed that. That is the faith, that is the obedience that God wants from us. That is the level of obedience. When you develop that relationship with God, when you speak to God, when you pour out your heart to God, when you look up unto Him, that is the kind of response that God expects from you and me. Some of you may think, why is God not speaking to me? Why is God not moving with you, with me or with you? Why? The only reason why God is not moving is because even if He speaks, you may not obey. If you obey His voice, He is ready to speak to you because He knows your condition. He knows what you are going through. He knows that you have to be made well for His glory. So even in the spiritual realm, if you want to grow in the Lord, you have to develop the deeper relationship with God, conversing with Him, speaking to Him, listening from Him, and obeying the voice of God. When we read the Bible, you can see there are many, many instances where people conversed with God. We can see how Zacchaeus, when he was, I'm not going to go into that, I'm just going to stick here, but let me tell you one thing. When Zacchaeus conversed with God, what happened is, you can see his life was transformed. He was aware of his sinful nature. When Abraham conversed with God, you can see that God told him about the destruction which is going at Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was able to intercede for the land. He was able to pray. Today also, when you converse with the Lord, when you speak with the Lord, He will reveal the hidden secrets of His heart to you. He is ready to do. But are you ready to spend time with the Lord? Young people, are you ready to spend more time with the Lord? Are you ready to converse and enter into a deeper relationship with Him? If you are ready to enter into a deeper relationship, you will hear His voice, and if you hear His voice, He expects you to obey Him completely. So the second thing what we saw was conversing with the Lord will bring you a great deliverance, you can see. And the next thing we can continue to read in the 14th verse. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So here you can see in the 14th verse, Jesus has found him. So this man found Jesus. He did not know who it was, but he found Jesus, and Jesus is saying, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." All circumstances in our life are not a result of sin. This word, when you read it, it may imply that it may be because of a sin that this thing occurred. But it is not necessary that our sins, but because, why I say that, if God starts punishing us according to our sins, no man would be on this earth. God would start punishing for all our deeds because God is so holy. But He is also merciful. So He has, with His mercy and His grace, we are sustained. But here we can see here is, what God says is, sin no more. That means what you should understand from here is, do not love your old life. In other words, when God has brought a deliverance in your life, do not think that your past life is better. This man, God is saying to him, "Oh, do not think, oh, you have been healed and walking. Do not think that being on the pool, near the pool of Bethsaida, is better." He would have had friends there. He would have had relationships there. Because of 38 years, he could have developed certain relationships. He could have known people there. But he should not think that, "Oh, that life was better, and this life is not being good." He should not think. So that's what God is saying to us. When God delivers you, when God brings you out and makes you well, and you get a blessing from God, do not love your old life. Do not go back to sin. Do not go to the ways of the world. The ways of the world are enticing. It is difficult, young people, it is difficult to lead a holy life. The world is very attractive. You may think the world is attractive, but what the warning Jesus gives is, lest a worse thing come upon you. That means if you start sinning, some translation says like this, if you start sinning, your soul will be lost in eternal hell. You will be lost. This man, this Jesus says to him, if you start sinning again, worse things can come. You may lose your soul. You may be in hell forever. That is what similar warning God gives us. When you receive deliverances from God, when you enjoy the presence of God, when you grow closer to God, what will happen is the worldly things should not be attractive to you, or you should flee from temptations. You should say no to this world. How can you do it? If you have that relationship with the Lord, you will be able to do it. That is what did this man do here? You can see in the 15th verse, you can see the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. You can see what you and I have to do instead of loving your old life, instead of going back to the old life, what you and I should do is you should testify about the Lord. Whenever you get an opportunity, young people, when you get an opportunity, when you stand apart from the world, when you have to stand direct and say, I would not do these things, take it as an opportunity to testify about the Lord. Do not compromise with the world. Do not go with the world. Do not say, oh, let me be with the world because the world is going like that. Let me flow with that. Let us not do like that. But let us stand apart and let us say, oh, Jesus, by the grace of God, I am not going to do this. It is Jesus who delivered me. Here you can see this man is, in spite of them asking questions, why you did this, he was not ashamed to say, it was Jesus who made me well. He was not ashamed to say, it was Jesus who led me thus far. So similarly, you and I should also testify about the Lord. So let me conclude here. We just saw an instance. How do you want, do you really want to be well? The Holy Spirit is asking us this question today. Do you and I want to be well, both in the spiritual sense and physical sense? What we have to do is, we first, if we want to be made well, from this incident, what we can learn is, you should get out of your comfort zone. If you get out of your comfort zone by stop complaining, by stop murmuring, you will be able to do. Your efforts are not going to be will not yield the results that you want to. But what you should do is, you should converse with the Master. You should enter a deeper relationship with Lord. When you enter a deeper relationship with God, you will hear the voice of God. Obedience to the voice of Lord will help you. And when God delivers you and leads you, when you have to be, if you want to be made well, you should not go to your past life. You should not love the world. You should not go back to the places where you were once before. And what you should do is, you should testify about the Lord. This is what you and I have to be doing if you have to be made well. So let us ask God. Let us ask God. Let us close our eyes and let us ask God to help us to be made well. The God who is conversing with us is able to do it. So let us submit ourselves. Let us ask God. Let us just have a word of prayer and let me conclude. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to your presence, O God. Thank you, Father, for your word today, O Lord Master. O Lord, we pray, O Lord Master, help us, Lord, to be made well, O Lord, of our present conditions, both spiritually and physically. Help us, O Master. Help us to love you, to serve you, to be faithful. Help especially the young people in this church, Lord, to testify about you, not to, Lord, love the world, or not to live a life of the world, O Lord, but to stand up for you throughout their lifetime, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this message. Continue to bless the remaining part of the service. Take the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.